Welcome to the Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast, your one-stop shop for television, movie, video games, comic books, book reviews, and more. Now, without further ado, here's Steven and Mike. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast. I am your co-host, Mr. Stephen Boster, along with the one, the only Mr. Michael Shanks, who is here. Mike, say hey to everybody for me, please.
Good morning to all you geeks out there in geekdom land.
Woohoo! Well, what a day. So many of you know Mike and I are high school buddies who have known each other through the years. We live in two different states. What's kept us together as friends is talking all things geekdom. And today, Mike has pulled a big one. So, Mike, please tell us who's with us today. I am excited about this.
Oh, me too. So we got a voice actor from Star Wars and many other animation features, and we'll get into all that. But we have the great Mark. Oh, shoot.
Thompson.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
As we get older, we're losing our memory.
Yeah, there's valuable like data up there that needs to be occupied by other things.
Yeah, no kidding. Sorry, Mark. I really didn't mean to do that.
Oh, that's my goodness, funny. Mark, it's great to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining us today.
No, thank you guys for having me. I love the name of the podcast, too. It's like such an awesome name.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks. Well, I have to say this up front. I told Mike, we do our research and stuff, and I saw your pictures, and man, you've got a nice, handsome beard, by the way.
Thank you.
I'm a little jealous of that beard, man. Mine doesn't grow out quite like yours.
Yeah, but you've got the nice, even gray color. Like that. I have like the calico cat sitting on my chin. Every color in the rainbow. So I like yours because it's like all uniform.
Thank you. Oh, no.
No, you're good, Mike. You're good, Mike. So sometimes our internet kind of pauses for a minute. So
gotcha.
And also, we're good.
Sorry.
So anyway, Mark, for those who may not know who you are, kind of tell us, obviously voice actor, but some of the things that you've been on and maybe known for.
Oh, sure. So I've done a lot of cartoons. I basically got my start in cartoons. My first like big break and one that was popular a long, long time ago was Daria, which was a spinoff of Beavis and Butthead on MTV. And I played like the football player Kevin and Mr. DiMartino with the Daria Morgendorfer with the big eye and like and I was Mr. O'Neill, the values teacher, and so that was like my first big thing. And then since then I've been able to do some stuff on Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh. There was a show called G.I. Joe Sigma 6 I got to do. I was on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I was Casey Jones.
Awesome.
The Turtles bashing into purple dragons. Recently I've done Transformers Cyberverse. I was Megatron on that. There's a new show on Netflix right now called Karma's World, and I'm like this like Chef Scott guy. So I do a bunch of animation. I've done a bunch of Star Wars audiobooks. I narrate a bunch of the Star Wars audiobooks.
Nice.
And I recently got to do, which was an answered prayer dream come true for me, I got to do some dubbing on the Star Wars Visions project, and I was in the episode Tatooine Rhapsody, which was a lot of fun and really, really cool. So a lot of animation, audiobooks, things of that nature.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
We'll come back to the Visions, the Tatooine Rhapsody and stuff, but when I was younger, I have to admit this, I say that I watched it with my boys, but we would watch Yu-Gi-Oh!
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah, I never watched Yu-Gi-Oh! And I think my daughter likes Yu-Gi-Oh! She's a Pokemon fan. My daughter's 25, by the way.
Nice.
But she's grown up as a Pokemon fan, and I don't really get into it. But she's probably going to be excited to hear that you're on here and you voiced some of those characters. So
that's good.
Now, you said Daria. I didn't know Daria was a spinoff from Beavis and Butthead?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because I think originally she was a character on Beavis and Butthead and kind of was like the smart one, like rolling her eyes at how stupid those two were. And then she ended up getting like a spinoff show of her own. So
wow, I used to watch Beavis and Butthead. I hate to admit that, but but there was a time. And I don't remember her on the well, that's wild. I might have to look that up after we do this.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh my goodness. So what is it like being a voice actor? I mean, we've had authors on and we've had some other folks on, but as far as voice acting, what is that like?
It's really fun. I mean, because you get to play so many different characters. Like it's such a broad range of, you know, like ages and, you know, animals and aliens and, you know, like, well, it's just really, really fun because you get to experiment and you don't get, at least for me, I get hired a lot to be a character voice guy. So like I'm not like a, I don't have like the voice of like Verizon or something like that. You know, those are the really nice paying gigs. But I do a lot of.
You're not James Arnold Taylor, is what
I'm
you're
not
saying?
James so like I get to do a lot of different character voices. So you don't. I find I don't get typecast as much because I can play a range of stuff. So that's
very versatile.
And that's really great. Yeah. The challenging part of it is, since it's all freelance, like you have some months where you're really busy and then you have other times where things are really slow and you're like, what's going to happen and how are we going to make ends meet? So there's a little bit of a challenge to it in that sense, but I've been very fortunate and have been able to work pretty consistently for a while now and hope to continue to do so.
So, right.
But it's, and it got to work on a lot of a wide range of projects. And so I love it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Your list of works is pretty extensive. I was looking through that and I was like, wow, he's done a lot of voices.
So what have been some of your favorite projects you've worked on?
Well, my favorite ones are probably the ones that were like reboots or kind of nostalgia things for me. Cause like when I got to do Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, that was a really big deal for me because I watched the original Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
So when I did the 2003 one, that was a huge like moment for me and very, very exciting. And the same thing, like when I got to do G.I. Joe and Transformers, like that's all the stuff I grew up watching. So like the fact that I got to kind of continue in those franchises was a huge deal for me. And I was super, super excited about all those. And then, you know, the Star Wars stuff I've gotten to do is like the creme de la creme, the top of the mountain. that's like, you know, that was almost like a religion for me growing up. So like it just, you know, the fact that I get to be a part of that in some small way is like incredibly, I feel super blessed and just like, you know, like really, really love getting to play in the galaxy far, far away. So it's
so
really
cool.
Amazing.
Well, not to talk too much about audiobooks, but I can't imagine how versatile you have to be. And it sounds just for audiobooks, but then, you know, having that opportunity to do that even for the all this animated work that you do that role. So, gosh, I can't imagine.
Well, I'm sure the animation has prepared you for that, you know.
Yeah. No, it did. It's crazy because like, I think I try to trace it back and like growing up, I was kind of am a couch potato. I just watched a lot of, you know, TV and stuff. And I would just
don't worry. We all did.
Yeah. So I would find myself as a kid, especially just like mimicking things and like, you know, kind of mumbling to myself as I was watching it and kind of imitating stuff. And
yeah,
and I think that was a big part of it. And then I had some great like high school drama teachers like Mrs. Hofstetter, Miss Ham, and you know, just that really nurtured me. And actually, in high school, we did a show called Greater Tuna, and it's a 2-man show where you play each actor played 10 different characters. So that was like my first taste of having to come up with a variety of different characters and make them have distinct personalities and distinct voices. And so there were a lot of things just growing up that I could point to that kind of like prepared me. And then the animation like definitely prepared me, because it was like, if you could do multiple voices, they were more likely to hire you, because it's cheaper to hire one guy to do, you know, a bunch of people than to have to hire an individual person for, you know, all these different characters that might have one or two lines. So I ended up kind of being, you know, the utility guy in a lot of shows, which was really fun because I got to play a lot of different characters, and that kind of ended up being my niche of where I found a lot of work, is where when they needed a lot of different things to happen. So
yeah.
Well, now with voice acting, isn't it kind of in their standard contract that they have to do multiple characters, at least two or three characters or something?
I don't know if it's in the contract. It depends on the studio or the show. Okay. But it definitely makes more sense when you're having to, you know, when there's shows right. that have a lot of different characters. And so I know a lot of people do try to do that. I don't know if it's like you have to, but like it definitely makes a lot more sense to do it that way.
So now do you get paid for each character?
Well, it depends on like there are some shows where that is contractually that you have to get paid for each character.
Nice.
And then there's other contracts where that's not the case. it depends on which show. So it was really nice when I was working on shows where the contracts were like each character you have to have a whole new contract for that character. That was really awesome. But
sorry, Mark, you have to do 100 characters, but we're only paying you for one.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's kind of more like that more often than not. So.
Gotcha.
I don't know about you, but for me, it'd be like, man, I'm just happy to get the gig.
Right.
I need the money. Yeah. Food on the table.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's always the joke when people like yourself are voicing multiple characters. Us on the outside, we're like, well, do they get paid for every one of the different characters, you know? So,
What's it like going into like a studio? Is it like you go in one day and you get everything done, or, you know, we only work on one character one day and another character another day, or is everybody in the same room and you're going back and forth? What's that like?
Most of the time it's just you, and you're kind of going, especially on cartoons, you're going kind of character by character. So I'll go and do all of Casey Jones's lines, and then we'll go back and do all of Serling's lines or whoever, you know. So most of the time that's how it works. Like every once in a while, again, depending on the budget of the show and depending on the producers of the show, you'll get to be in the studio with the other actors, and that's kind of a special treat or like a rare thing, just because, you know, those booths are bigger and it's a little bit more complicated to make sure that when everyone's in the room you're not stepping on each other's lines. So it takes a little bit more wrangling to get that to happen, but it improves the quality of the performance, because then you have the other actors to play off of.
I was going to ask you here to play off so each like, other. Yeah.
So okay. And actually, even though I used Ninja Turtles as the example of being alone, Ninja Turtles was one of the shows where often we would do group records, and we were able to, you know, have four or five of us in the booth at a time. And those were so fun. I mean, because you know, it totally changes how you approach things when you have the other person right there, because there's something about their performance that then inspires and influences you, and then vice versa. So it's when it's possible, it's so much more fun to do it with a group. But again, because of budget concerns and also just wanting to keep the audio clean, sometimes it makes more sense to record each character individually, because then you're not bleeding into each other's recordings and things like that. So
sure.
Do you find that you guys crack each other up with your voices sometimes?
Which is another reason why sometimes they don't do it, is because you end up screwing around too much in the mic and, you know, and not getting work done, because you end up joking around too much. So, but you know, it's, you can also get some really real gold out of that group dynamic as well.
So. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they get extra stuff from you guys being together, the unplanned things that just,
all kinds of improv.
Right.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so, great. Wow. And I'm sure you feed off of the vibe of the other actors, you know, I'll bet that changes your performance just a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. Awesome. I cannot imagine the improvs you guys must do for each other.
Often, like, 5-10 minute sessions. Like, all right, guys, pull it back in.
You know, I sing the praise of voice actors all the time. I think you guys are incredible. You do some incredible work. And I've got a coworker.
Love animation. Love animation.
I'm a big animation fan. And I got a coworker. Like, so Kevin Conroy is one of my all-time favorites. Batman. Love Batman. And, we'll be talking about who's the best Batman. And I'm like, well, technically the best Batman is Kevin Conroy. Yeah. And I got a coworker. He's like, wait a minute, which Batman is he? Is he the cartoon guy? Yeah, he's the voice actor. Right. Oh, that doesn't count. They're not real actors. I'm like, give me a freaking break. They work hard, dude.
Yeah.
So I sing your praises all the time, man.
All right. That's good. I have to agree, too. Kevin Conroy is probably the best bat. Oh, Christian Bale gives him a good run for his money, but...
I think I'd argue with you on that.
Go, fight.
I like Christian Bale's performance.
Yes.
I don't care for his... Voice, yeah, I don't care for... It's a little much.
Yeah.
Mark, can you do I'm not wearing hockey pants?
I'm not wearing hockey pants.
Yeah! That's like my favorite line.
Yeah.
Of the Christian Bale.
Nice. Oh. Yeah, but Christian Bale didn't do that line. That was the he did that line. That's right.
Yeah.
He did do that one. Yeah.
Sorry.
I know what you mean. Like, it was what I liked about it, though, was that I did like that they try to explain why someone wouldn't recognize Bruce Wayne's voice, or like, you know.
Yeah, right.
That it was an attempt at trying to be intimidating and scary, even though it maybe would not, like, when you hear a guy doing that, it's like, what are you doing? Like, you know, so like, but like the vocal processor of the, of Batfleck, of the, Snyder, it was a cool idea of a way to accomplish that, but not sound like, you know, the guy needs a cough drop or something.
Right. Now you talk about the voice changing and that trying to hide Bruce's identity. I do think that's way better than Clark Kent, though.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. Do I look like a different person now?
Is there a third host in the podcast?
Right.
Hey, speaking of, you know, of voice things, do you have to do... Do you have to do voice exercises? When I was in college or in high school, I was in show choir. I did music, and in college I was in the choral choir, you know, and I took voice lessons and stuff. Do you have to do the same thing for voice acting?
I mean, I probably should do it more often than I do. I want to be a good voice actor. I do a lot of stuff in the shower. Like I do and all that stuff. But if I did it more often, I'd probably help. But I did learn a lot of that in college, and it does help. But I'm not as disciplined as perhaps other actors are.
Or some say that they are, but they're not really.
Do you find yourself, do you drink certain things? I think James Arnold Taylor, he drinks tea. Yeah. A specific tea that he has that he drinks. So do you find that helps you?
I'm mainly just stick to water. Like I drink a ton of water. I have like a 32-ounce like water bottle thing that I bring with me everywhere. And so I usually just drink a lot of water. If it's like, if I'm starting to get hoarse, I will do tea and honey. But I don't like the taste of tea. So like I have to like really put a lot of honey in there, and then I get like, I don't drink coffee or anything, because like if hot liquids tend to burn my tongue, and then I can't use my tongue. I can't talk. So like I end up drinking lukewarm honey tea half a cup in order to just coat my throat, and then I'm like, you know. And I have a friend that swears by gummy bears, so every once in a while if I get really desperate, I might pop a couple gummy bears. So he says there's something about the glycerin that helps
Throats. I've never heard the gummy bear thing.
A specific kind of gummy bear?
No, just whatever the Harpio or what. Like, I think it's maybe it is Harpio actually, but I think any gummy bear would work. But yeah, but it might be psychosomatic at this point and just candy. But I trust him. And
so when you eat the gummy bear, do you say the red ones are gooder?
No, but I will now.
All right. And you'll think of our podcast when you do.
That's right.
Oh, gosh. That's so funny. Awesome. Oh, my goodness. Well, let's move into, if you're okay with this, with Star Wars Visions. Because Mike had those. We had already had Ian Desher on the show. And I had commented about some of the things, you know, in the, I love the audiobooks and stuff. And he said, hey, Mark Thompson is in. It's in Visions. I'm like,
oh, Ian knew that? That's cool.
No, I said.
I don't know if Ian knew or not. But
okay, gotcha.
We interviewed Ian before Visions came out, so unfortunately.
Okay.
But if we ever have Ian back on, we'll bring it up.
So with Star Wars Visions, you were in the you voiced the drummer, right?
Yeah.
In the Tatooine Rhapsody.
Yes.
What was that experience like? I mean, Star Wars and all that, but
yeah, that was awesome. Like, it's funny because I have done so much dubbing work in the past, like Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh, and so I've done a lot of dubbing and I've done a lot of animation and prelay animation as well, and then I've done a ton of, you know, audiobooks and Star Wars audiobooks, but I had not been able to break through to any of the Star Wars animation shows. Like, I would kind of tell my agent, you know, hey, you know, I heard, you know, Thrawn's going to be on Rebels and I do a bunch of Thrawn audiobooks. Is there any chance maybe, you know, and she's
yeah.
You know? And I kept trying to kind of like get into like, you know, Rebels or Resistance. And I just, you know, I'm in New York and they have a lot of amazingly talented actors on the West Coast, and they have a huge, a deep talent pool. So for whatever reason, I just haven't been able to kind of break into that yet or get an audition. So when Visions came up, my friend Mike Center Nicholas, who I've done a lot of the dubbing work with, and he was actually Leonardo on Ninja Turtles.
Oh, cool. cool.
So, yeah, so that's how we know each other. And so he owns a studio. And his studio, NYAV Post, is the one who did the dubbing for Visions. And he knew what a fan I was and how excited I would be. So he said, hey, would you, you know, want to do this? I was like, yeah. So it was really like, that was like, you know, dream come true, answered prayer, like, holy cow. And like, you know, I had heard about Star Wars Visions during the Investor Day presentation that Lucasfilm did. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. So I got to watch obviously the episode I was in a couple months before it got released, and I got to watch, I believe, the Elder, because he had just worked with David Harbour on that, I got to kind of see that in ahead of time, and I got to see the duel ahead of time because I did a couple ancillary stormtroopers.
My favorite one.
My favorite was the duel.
Yeah.
Oh, not the duel. I'm sorry. The duel was the first one, right?
Right.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I wasn't in that one. I got to watch the twins, the one with
you know which one. Yeah,
the duel was amazing. Like, the duel was probably my favorite of the series. That and Ninth Jedi were my two favorites of the series.
Yes, Ninth Jedi was the two-parter that originally was supposed to be.
Right,
It was supposed to be two different ones, but they combined it into one because when Kathleen Kennedy announced, she said there were 10 episodes, but only 9 came out. Because the Ninth Jedi was two stories, but they decided they worked better together.
It really worked well. Like, that one I would love to see a whole series of, so.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Well, I'd like to see a series of the duel. Actually,
that would be awesome.
Book
visually. That style was so amazing, and like such a blend of like the Kurosawa films and Star Wars.
Yes.
And I'd never seen that style of animation before, where it looked like almost like hand drawings were coming to life.
Yeah,
you know, like
it was beautiful.
It was great. Yeah. So.
So
it was awesome. So like mine was the Tatooine Rhapsody one, and it was super fun. And you know, at first I was like trying to make him sound like, you know, like a Beatle or something, because he's a drummer and like maybe he's Ringo, you know. But they were like, no, let's do this instead. It's like, okay, sure, whatever, you know. So like, so he's like, what? He's like more gravelly and kind of like punk rock. So it was great. And
it was kind of like awesome. You got to play three characters because he's like three guys in one.
Totally. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Did you come up with all three different voices, or did they have a direction that they wanted you to go in, or?
No, I mean, Mike and I kind of found it together, but they, but it was basically like, you know, one seemed more angry, one seemed more shy, and one seemed, you know, more kind of positive, and you know, so like that kind of influenced the voices there. And I think it's funny too, because I play a three-headed Pokemon as well, so it was like another weird coincidence thing. So,
but you didn't borrow any of the voices from the Pokemon to
no, not for that.
To Lan, his character, your character's
Lan,
name,
yes,
Lan.
Okay. Lan, yeah.
So at what point do they explain what your character is to you? When do you find that out?
Oh, when I show up in the booth.
And oh, okay.
Here, it's this guy, you know. So,
oh,
and with
wow.
With dubbing, it's cool because, like on prelay animation, you're doing the voice first, and they're animating to what you do. In dubbing, it's usually been officially recorded in another language, and now they're dubbing it into English. So then when you dub, you see the finished product, and you're just trying to match the lip flap. So when I came to Visions, it was already animated, everything was done, and I got to see, you know, exactly what this. So that heavily influences the character voice when you get to see.
Oh, the accents and the voice, okay. You
know? How interesting. Yeah.
So is it harder to do it in that process, or?
Yeah, I mean, yes. Well, it's like, I guess it's yes and no. It's like, what's challenging about dubbing is you have to match the lip flap. So like, the way I say a sentence and the cadence and the rhythm of how I might say this sentence might differ than the way the
character.
Japanese actor would say this, or you know, so when someone's already said it, you have to match their rhythm and cadence and then make it make sense in English and in the character voice you're doing. So that is a unique challenge. You have to do it in that exact timing, and you know, so it's a unique kind of skill you have to kind of acquire and figure out how to do. So it's,
man,
yeah, so
you guys do work hard.
Yeah.
So, man. Then
prelay is fun because then you have more range and freedom to do that. But then it's also like the challenge of that is like, well, since you might get a piece of concept art to look at, or you might get a brief description, but since you don't have a finished product, you have to use your imagination a lot more to figure out.
Oh, wow.
What would this character voice sound like, or how should it be, or, you know, so both have different pros and cons or different kind of unique challenges.
Sure.
Make it interesting. So.
Interesting. Yeah. I can't imagine trying to match the voice up to, you know, that. Oh, that's gotta be, man.
It's pretty challenging. And a lot of times you have to kind of maybe rewrite things on the fly just to make it, sync up a little bit, you know, minor things like, you know, dropping, a word here or there, or contracting a word, or, you know, just to make it fit with the mm-hmm. character voice, or, you know.
Wow. Neat.
So, yeah.
Neat.
What a fascinating skill. What a fascinating
really cool.
skill.
Yeah. It's like so the way it works is they'll have three beeps, and then, where the fourth beep would land rhythmically is when you have to jump in. So it'll be like, boop, boop, boop. And then you have to like come in with the line. And so you're watching the image on screen and like kind of having one eye on the script and then one eye on the screen, trying to like make sure that you're syncing it up. So,
wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Whoa. Damn. Has there been any project that you've done that was like super, super challenging to do?
Oh, I mean, yeah, many. I'm trying to think of a good example.
Okay. But, so we're just saying it's a super challenging skill set.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's mainly like, I mean, there's lots of like, you know, like sometimes if I pick a voice that's like super low and scratchy, and then, you know, I get the part because I auditioned with that voice, but then I forget I have to do 4 hours of work with that voice. And then it's like after 4 hours, it's like, you know, so
then you're hitting the lukewarm honey and tea then.
Exactly. Like, give me gummy bears. You know, it's like, so, but then, And then like, so like, and especially for like some of the anime and video games, there'll be a lot of shouting or screaming. So there's definitely some jobs where after I'm done, I can't talk the next day and I have to kind of rest up a lot. And, you know, so,
Yeah. So, what video games have you done?
Mainly tie-ins for the cartoons that I'm on, but I did one recently that's like an iOS game. Oh, this is awful that I don't know this. It's like a Dungeons and Dragons style.
It's okay. I messed up your name introing
you.
Yeah, so.
All right. Okay. Yeah. But there's I play this character Regil something, and it's like on a Dungeons and Dragons style like fantasy realm thing. And
cool.
But yeah, and I've done mainly stuff that ties it. Like I've done like Pokemon games and Ninja Turtle games, and and there's a couple, I think, military ones I've done. So.
Neat.
Those are interesting because you have to, like, when you do a video game, you have to record every possible response someone could have to a question. So like the scripts for those are like these
Excel
sheets where it's like, you know, you have one line from the character who's talking to you and then eight different responses.
Yeah.
Of like, you know, positive, negative, you're dying, you're, you know, you're furious at them, you're agreeing, right? You know,
those role playing,
you know, through line of like what's happening in the conversation at this point. So
neat. Oh my gosh.
That's interesting. Man, who knew the world of voice acting was so in depth?
Yeah. And it's opened up too, because like now you have like dramatic podcasts that people do.
Yeah.
And there's like obviously audiobooks. There's I'm doing this thing now where there's a documentary about a German soccer club and I'm like dubbing just into English like some of the documentary stuff. So there's and then I've done like listening tour museum things where like, you know, people are walking through the museum and then there's all these different ways that you can find work as a voiceover performer that you wouldn't even realize exist until you're like, oh yeah, I guess you would need somebody to do that. So,
So does your agent kind of try to track all that kind of stuff down, the availability and stuff like that?
Yeah, they'll like, you know,
kind of like a job recruiter, really.
Exactly. Yeah, and it helps because they'll, you know, the casting directors have relationships with the agents, and so they know we need someone that fits this type of thing, and then the agents have like, I have 20 people that fit that category of voice or person you're looking for, and so it helps. Mm-hmm. And then you're also just hustling on your own as well. Like there's like awesome stuff my agent gets me, and then there's stuff that I get on my own just from other people I've worked with, or you know, just looking for stuff. So it's you're always like, the only downside of voice acting, in my opinion, is the freelance aspect of it, because it's just you're constantly nervous that you're not going to work anymore. So I end up saying yes to almost everything. And then I get these periods of time where I'm super, super busy. But then I constantly feel like I have to keep taking it because I don't know what I'm doing next week. And like next week might be a week where nothing's happening. So I have some weeks where it's like I'm working every day and then sometimes late at night. And then I have other weeks where I only have one job that week. And it's like, oh, no, what's going to happen? So that can be challenging sometimes. So.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Yeah.
I'll bet your budgeting is a nightmare.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah, like because my wife is really awesome at finances and planning and all that stuff. So we've kind of agreed that she can delegate that. But it was very hard to budget after a while. But like, what is interesting is that when you have all those different like pots to draw from, like you've got commercial work and narration work and animation work and, you know, random other stuff. It's like if one of the pots dries up, usually another one starts to boil and you can kind of get some work over here. So like I have like a radio station that I do a lot of work with that's, you know, they'll have me do stuff for like morning radio. And so, like I probably couldn't survive if I only was focused on one of those things. Like if I was just focused on being a commercial actor, or just focused on being animation, or just focused on narration, none of those three would be enough to support my family. But because I have like a toe in each of those things, you know, I can kind of like stay afloat. And then you know, my wife has now started working also, so that helps. You know, so but it but uh But usually it's kind of worked out now where we're doing okay because, you know, when one slows down, the other one picks up. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, I'd just say when so I have Audible subscription and I just looked up Mark Thompson. I was like, 110 works. Holy cow.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's pretty amazing. Yeah.
Dang.
And what's weird about that is like growing up, I was never a reader. Like I was never like, let me curl up with a good book. And just, you know, like I was always like, oh, I have to do a book report. Can they make a movie of this book? Maybe I can watch the
right.
movie. And write
Where's
it
my cliff up, notes?
You know? Yeah, so like never in a million years would I think I would read books for a living. Here I am.
Maybe God's just getting you back for your early days.
I think that's exactly what it is. Like, you know all those homework assignments you didn't do? Well, guess what, buddy?
I'll bet your parents laugh at that, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so, like, I wasn't a reader as a kid either. I hated to read unless it was comic books. I loved reading comic books. Yeah. And then what was it? 1991 is when the Heir to the Empire came out.
Yeah.
So I'm 21 at this point, and I'm like, I saw that book, and I said, you know, and Star Wars is almost dried up at this point.
Totally. Yeah.
And I'm still a huge Star Wars fan, and I'm going, the Star Wars universe is still going on. I got to get this book. And man, I read that. Oh yeah. And made me fall in love with reading. So
same story here. Like that. The only reason I said yes was to my first ever audiobook was a Star Wars audiobook. And the only reason I said yes is because it was Star Wars.
Right.
I was trying to talk my agent out of it. I was like, I'm not really into audiobooks. And she was like, what about Star Wars books? I was like, whoa, wait. So, but that's, so.
Well, in the production of Star Wars audiobooks is a lot.
Yeah,
you know,
it's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Oh, we
and
probably.
I know. Well, this is fine because it's just general process stuff.
Okay.
I also have kind of fallen in love with reading now because of it. Because now I see the appeal of books because I see how much you can get into people's inner monologues and understand the intentions behind the actions or the emotions behind the actions. Mm-hmm. Where in film, you can sometimes guess at what's going on in their mind because of what's happening in their face or the music or, you know, but there's so much more depth, you know, with the book. So it's I also have kind of just fallen in love with reading now because of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
Mm-hmm. Now, just continue with the process. So do they give you like the book to kind of work with before you come into the studio? So you have to make notes and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Like I read through them and then kind of figure out the different character voices and things like that. And it takes, I'm still a slow reader.
You and me both, brother.
Yeah. So it takes me quite a while, but.
Although I'm not getting paid to do it. So
that helps with the motivation. Yeah. That's what teachers need to do. They need to pay their students.
There you go. I don't think you're going to get too many teachers on board with that though.
Oh yeah.
They're barely paying for their supplies.
Right. Yeah. Right. We shouldn't put too much pressure on them.
No, they're doing amazing as is.
Yes, they are. I agree. Yeah. I agree. Wow. Yeah,
I will say, Mark, I did enjoy the fact that you named your teachers from high school that really had an influence on you.
Oh yeah.
That speaks volumes. That's pretty neat.
No, they really were formative because Miss Hofstetter was like, she was the one who did all the plays and she was just an amazing mentor and kind of helped me fall in love with performing. And kind of, she was kind of the one that helped me realize that this is something I was reasonably good at, you know, and she just instilled like a love of performing in me. And then Miss Ham was she was my speech and debate coach. I used to do like a competitive.
Yeah. Like, my son does it. He does.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
He does it in college. They're going international this year. He did
so
that's
awesome.
Cool. So yeah.
But she was Miss Ham was like really like she was a great coach and like really like kind of helped me on the technical side of things and like understand like real technical practical technique type things. They were both awesome. But yeah, I was very very fortunate and I give a lot of credit to them for the life I have now because, you know, if it weren't for them training me and kind of pushing me, you know, like both of them really, you know, pushed me creatively, but also discipline wise to make sure that, you know, I didn't give up on these things. And my mom was awesome because she, you know, signed me up for acting lessons and improv lessons and drove me to all the rehearsals and everything. And kind of didn't realize until much later in life how much she did to kind of lay that groundwork and stuff. So, mm-hmm. there's a lot. I owe a lot to them. So
very cool.
Now, with your mom, had you already said this is kind of what I want to do? Or she was like, hey, you're good at this. I'm going to make you do this.
I think she knew how, like, she could just tell how much I enjoyed it at a very young age. Like, I can't remember asking to go to improv and voice lessons, but I remember going. And I think that I never felt forced to go. It wasn't like a stage mom situation. Like, it wasn't like that at all. Right. It was just I think she just knew that, like, he really likes this, so let's nurture this. And like, so she signed me up for all those things. And you know, and I was kind of in a small town, so she had to really hunt for them. Like, she had to, you know, really, you know, got of her way to do it. So I really, really appreciate it. And then, like, when it came to college, you know, my dad is much more practical. And looking back now, I see that he was, it's not like he was trying to crush my dreams, but like he cared about me and was like, you know, maybe you should study business because that's more practical and you'll have better luck getting work. And then you can do theater on the side. Like, you can do, you know, and at the time, no one wants to hear that. You're like, you don't love me. You don't believe in me. You know, so,
right? That's
but it was really, it was that he loved me so much. He didn't want to see me, you know, suffer the freelance thing that I was talking about earlier and kind of have to like go through the challenges of that. But my mom, it was interesting. Like, she supported me, but then she also, around high school, she got laid off from a very steady job at Kodak. And it was almost like I remember this one conversation where I was kind of feeling like, well, maybe I should study business. Like, maybe that is the better thing. And she kind of, in not so many words, said, you know, like, well, look, I went into business because I thought that was the safe thing. And look at me, like they just let me go. And there is no safe career anymore. And you might as well study something you really enjoy and do something you really enjoy. And so she kind of helped talk my dad into letting me go to college to study acting. So, which is like, you know, oh my gosh, you know, so, cause that's risky. Cause you never know, you know, if that's going to pay off or not. So,
Now you just gave me an idea for a new reality show, Moms of Voice Acting.
Not a bad idea. There's probably a lot of so it's good. Like I now I'm able to see, like, I kind of had the best of both worlds because I had the kind of belief and support of my mom, but the practicality of my dad, and I think I went in kind of clear eyed about, you know, so that I could handle kind of the ups and downs of the freelance and not be like, you know, totally taken off guard, and it kind of instilled in me a work ethic that I had to like think about the business aspect and not just the creative aspect. So
that makes a lot of sense. Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Life lessons with Mark Thompson.
Yeah. I didn't know that's what you were getting, right? You just wanted some funny voices, man.
Oh man.
Oh gosh. Oh man. So what do you have on the horizon? What are some things that you've got coming up that you're, I know it's week to week, you know, kind of thing, but
well, that you can talk about because we don't want to break any NDAs or anything like that.
Sorry. Yes.
So I think I might've mentioned it, but, there's this new show I'm on called Karma's World that Ludacris, produced, and it's on Netflix, and, it's really sweet. If you have little kids out there, that it's on Netflix right now. And I think if it does well, there'll be other seasons and things like that. So that would be something really cool to check out. I'm pretty sure a new season of Transformers Cyberverse is just coming out now. So that's pretty fun.
And you're Megatron. And
I'm Megatron. Yeah. So it's really cool.
Nice.
What's your favorite? What's your favorite line of Megatron that he says?
Optimus Prime, you fool. I shall have the old spark. Something like that. Those are fun. And then there's a new Star Wars book that's about to drop called Lesser Evil. That's the third in the series of the Chaos Ascending.
Ascendancy.
So that's pretty cool. So
Oh, nice.
Have you seen the documentary? What is it called? I think it's called Look Who's Talking, or...
I think I have.
Which it's just all these different voice actors.
Yeah, and, I think so.
Oh, it's an incredible documentary. I absolutely love
it.
It
was a while ago, though, right?
It's been a few years.
Yeah.
But the guy who did Wacko's voice from Animaniacs.
Yeah.
He told a story, and I love this story. He tells a story about... He's out and about somewhere, and this kid is wearing a T-shirt with Wacko on it. And he comes up to the kid, and he's like, you know, I'm Wacko. And the kid looks at him and goes, you're not Wacko. And he goes, no, really, I do the voice of Wacko. And the kid looks at him and goes, oh, yeah? Do the voice then. And he goes, I have never been so nervous in my life. And he says, and I did the voice, and I did the worst impression of Wacko I've ever done in my life. And the kid looked at him and said, you're not Wacko. I can do a better Wacko than you.
Oh, no. I remember that. That's great.
So have you ever had an experience like that?
I've definitely had experiences where people say, do the voice, and I felt like on the spot and didn't do as good a job as I would like. And then also, like, there is this thing where there's a subtle difference between how your voice sounds on the microphone and how your voice sounds in real life. So there's that pressure also that, you know, like it just sounds different when it's like up close and recorded.
Sure.
So there's that part of me that's like, is this going to sound the way it's supposed to sound?
Right. So you're just talking about live versus production.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, and you have all the enhancements in the studio and,
Yeah,
which that could have been part of his issue too. Plus, like you said, he was nervous, which I find hilarious.
Yeah,
totally.
Such a good story.
Mark, do you go to like any Comic-Con type things or Wizard Worlds or any of those?
I have, yeah. Like I've been to San Diego Comic-Con, New York Comic-Con, Denver Comic-Con. Yeah, so like I don't like. I have friends that almost every other weekend they're doing cons, and I haven't done that just because my kids were young at the time. My oldest is in college now, and my youngest is a senior or junior now. So I might start looking into doing more conventions if people are interested, because they're always fun. But I just didn't want to travel when my
kids are little. Yeah, I don't mind. Sure,
when you have kids, so. I love going when I do go, and they're a lot of fun.
Oh, if you get more Star Wars animation, you're going to want to go.
that would be amazing. Yeah,
go sit with James Arnold Taylor.
So I got to meet him once.
Oh, cool!
It was amazing, like because I was actually a guest at an anime convention in Jersey, and this was when he was doing the original Clone Wars, like the micro.
Oh yeah, right. The Gandhi series.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I was so pumped that he was also a guest at the convention, and as a Star Wars fan, and so and it was still kind of new, so I don't think people knew him for Obi-Wan yet as much or whatever. And the announcer was like, "And James Arnold Taylor doing Obi-Wan Kenobi," and I was the only one in the audience was like, yeah, like, and he kind of like looked like, what? So like, I was on a panel for like Pokemon or something, and so then we talked afterwards, and he was really like, he like ended up taking me out to lunch.
Oh, cool!
Great advice, and like he's just a super super great guy and super awesome, and so
very cool. Yeah, wow.
Yeah. It's always fun to hear those stories about people who, you know, you appreciate their work of what they do and things, and then to find out that they're super nice afterwards.
Oh, yeah. No, he's amazing. And, like he's super generous and you know, with his time and with his advice and really, and he's another, he was one of those actors that I looked up to because he could also do tons of different voices and you don't know it's him. Like anytime I see a voice actor where it's like, wait, that guy does the voice of that and that? Like, that's, it blows me away. And he's one of those guys where, like, you know, if you didn't have his resume in front of you, you wouldn't necessarily know that it's the same actor doing all those different voices. So
yeah,
he's awesome.
Well, you say that, but I've found myself being able to pick his voice out more now that I do.
Yeah, as you get to know, I would.
Right, because I've listened to a lot of his stuff. I listened to he did a podcast. He hasn't updated his podcast in a long time. I hope he's okay. I was listening to his podcast and he'd talk about different voices that he's done, and I'll start listening closer. And I'm like, that's James Earl Taylor. That's James Earl Taylor.
Well, that's the only downside when you do become a fan of someone, is you start to see, like, you can hear their
the
different tricks they have or whatever, you know. So, like, it drives my wife crazy because, like, a commercial will come on and I'll be like, oh, that's John Cusack, or oh, that's Chris Pine. And she's like, really? How do you know? Like, it's like, but you can just,
you hear
your,
it.
Your ear gets to tune into them after a while.
So. But, I mean, James Arnold Taylor has stood in for some of those actors, too.
Yeah.
He's done some of their voices
in
those commercials. And that's what I find amazing. That blows me away. So have you gotten to do any kind of work like that? I mean, can you mimic another actor like that?
Yeah, yeah. Like
anything you can say. If you can't say okay.
Like I think I did. What was the last one I did? There's one I'm up for this week, actually, that I probably shouldn't say anything.
Okay, don't say anything.
Okay, we don't want to get you in trouble.
Yeah, but I've done.
But when we stop recording, you can tell us.
And then we can go.
We know something you don't know.
Yeah. Those are fun though. Like those are challenging, but they're fun.
Neat. That is neat. That is pretty neat. Oh my goodness. That's funny. Oh, but I'll be open with you, Mario. You're one of those individuals I can't tell the difference of. Like, for example, I was like, oh, he did that. Oh, and he did that. Or, that's, you know, cool. I was like, what?
All right. You know. Mission accomplished.
Well, yeah, that's probably what you want. You probably don't want people to be able to tell your voice and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're doing a straightforward narration or, you know, something like that. You know.
Yeah. No, but it helps. What I was saying earlier with the, if people don't know it's me right away, then I might, it helps me get cast in a lot of different things if you can't pick it out necessarily right away. But.
Okay, this drives me crazy. I got to ask you, what is your hoodie?
It's a Boba Fett.
That's what I thought.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, I love it. I
that
love
is
it.
Excellent.
I love it. It's a Mark Echo one years ago. I don't think they make them anymore, but I almost got rid of it because I have so many hoodies. But I was like, no, I really like.
Oh, you can't get rid of Boba Fett.
No, I know that was my starting to fray, whatever. But now Book of Boba Fett's coming out, and I'm like, yeah, I made the right decision.
Oh, we are very excited about it. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Do you have any predictions for the new Book of Boba Fett?
I mean, I have hopes. I want to see flashbacks. Like, I want to see him getting out of the Sarlacc pit. And,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I want to know. Like, that's what I was hoping the first trailer. Well, I guess I shouldn't say that because you don't want to spoil those moments. But, like, what I hope the Book of Boba Fett as a series is the story of what happens after Jedi up until now. The trailer makes it seem like we're picking up from him killing Bib Fortuna forward, which that would be cool too, because I love what they're doing with the character right now, and it's
really
interesting. So, but I'm hoping for some flashbacks or something, because I would love to see.
Yeah,
you know, we got to know, like, we got to just see that battle or how that happened, or, you know, or something.
Exactly.
I just want to hear Boba say, "The Salak found me indigestible."
Yeah. Well, somebody call Filoni right now.
How do I do in the voice?
Really good.
Thank you. If I get that, I mean, okay, so Book of Boba Fett comes out December 29th. My birthday is the 27th, so that'll be like the ultimate birthday present for me if I get that line.
Mike is a huge Boba Fett fan.
I am.
Oh,
huge,
nice.
Boba Fett fan, we're. I think we're going to end up doing a podcast for each episode of Boba Fett.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm so happy. Like, I loved how he came back in Mando and just, you know. When he gets his armor, that episode is so amazing.
Yeah. Oh, like I love it when he walks up to Mando and he's like, I want my armor. And Mando thinks he's talking about his. No, yeah. Over my dead body. No, not right. Your armor. My armor.
Yeah. And just like seeing him, like it's wild to think that that is like the most action you've ever seen Boba Fett have. Like as much as he was beloved before Mandalorian, he, you know, all he really did was look really cool,
right,
in Empire, and then kind of fall into the Sarlacc pit in Jedi. Like, you know, he ties up Luke with the cable, which was cool. But like, you know, like the fact that like now, all these decades later, that mm-hmm. was the moment where he gets to like really kick butt and like come to his own. It was like so cool. It's like the what you'd hoped for ever since you saw the action figure.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. We just finished watching some of the D+, the Disney Day stuff.
Oh, I need to watch that. I
haven't. And there's a great documentary on there on Under the Helmet. And they say in there, what did they say? It, like in everything from then, it was like, what, 6 minutes worth of screen time? Or
unbelievable. Is that really it?
Yeah, he had like, four lines and 6 minutes of screen time for all of the original films.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. That's really amazing. Wow.
And now we get to see him in action like never before. Yeah. So
right.
I agree with that. I think the Book of Boba Fett, I'm looking forward to seeing more action and his abilities and and what he can do and stuff. Wow. But I agree. I want to see what happened with Sarlacc. How did that happen and stuff? So
I want to see Dengar find him.
Yeah.
And Dengar nurse him back to health, and I want that line. That's what I want.
That's great.
So yes, Mark, I agree. I want some flashbacks. I wouldn't even mind seeing the whole, you know, we've heard the legend that at some point Boba Fett stands up to Darth Vader. You know, that's part of his mystique is, you know, he's the one bounty hunter that stood up to Lord Vader.
Right.
I wouldn't mind getting that moment too. That would be so cool. So
that'd be great.
So, yeah, I have a slight little wish list. we'll see what happens.
Oh, right. My goodness. Oh, Mark, man, holy cow, it's already been an hour.
Yeah.
Oh, Mark, thanks for being with us. Hey, I'm not going to put you on the spot. I was like, man, well, I want to have you back. I mean, this has been fun.
This has been
great.
Yeah,
this has been a lot of fun. Definitely. And anything you want to share with us about where people can find you, how people can get to know more about you, that kind of a thing.
Sure. I'm on Twitter, I'm Captain Ehud. And on Instagram, I'm Captain Ehud. And on Facebook, I'm just myself. And it's MarcThompson.
Is Ehud a character that you do? Or
it's it's one of the judges from the Book of Judges in the Bible, and he's the one that kills Eglon. He's the left-handed
judge.
Oh, the fat king. So
okay.
I needed a gamer tag for Xbox, and else would know or have. Yeah. So
dang. Wait,
isn't that the blade? Isn't that the blade that gets sucked up into the guy?
Yes, yeah. He's so fat. That
Yeah. It's a great story.
That's cool that you know that. That's awesome.
Right. Well, that's a long story. We can talk afterwards.
Yeah, you just made me feel kind of stupid because I was like, well, shoot, I should know that.
Well, he's not like Samson. Or
well, no, yeah, no, yeah, but yeah. That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
Very cool. Mark, thank you so much again being with us. This has been a lot of fun. As I said, we want to have you back. I do want to spend more time talking about audiobooks with you
and that
experience because, man, you got me super intrigued and especially all the work that you've done as well. So, gosh, thanks for being here. This is a lot of fun.
This is great.
This was great. Thank you, guys. I really had fun.
Yeah, thank you for the behind the looks at voice acting and such.
Yeah,
it's nice to get those kind of stories because we don't hear them all the time. So
yeah,
and I'm sure our audience is going to enjoy it. So thank you very much.
Absolutely.
All right, we ready, Steven?
Yeah, you ready to sign us out, my friend?
All right. With that said, well, before we go, make sure you check out twogeeksmike.com for everything Two Geeks. Yep. You can
the
get to
Two Geeks Mike. M-I-C.
And anyway, that's our hub to everything. You can get to our Facebook page, our merch page, our YouTube page, Ko-fi page, so on and so forth.
Whole
so
page.
All right, with that said, over and out, and may the Force be with you. Thank you for joining us today on the Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast. Tune in next week when we will have more news and reviews. Until then,
may the Force be with you.
And as Admiral Ackbar would say, that's a wrap.